Welcome to the Live Free Podcast. I'm your host, Michaela Quinn, and I am a mom on a mission to help you launch, grow, and scale a profitable freelance business from home. Join me each week for tangible business advice, along with inspiring interviews, all designed to help you mom strong, work smart, and live free. If you are loving this podcast, finding yourself motivated or inspired, learning something new, or just a fan of the show, do me a favor and help me spread the message. Screenshot the episode, add it to your Insta stories, and tag me at Michaela.Quinn. Every share helps me reach more and more moms, and I may just share your share and feature you in my Insta stories too, because together we can take over the world. All right, mama, it's time. Grab your coffee, water, or wine, because we are starting. Hey there. Happy Monday. It is officially summer over here at the Quinn household. McLaren's last day. It was last Wednesday and it was perfect. And I am so pumped for summer. I'm so glad to not be waking up early, getting her to school, doing homework and fighting with everything. I'm just ready for things to slow down. So thankful summer's here. Now, speaking of summer, I bet you're sending your kids to summer camp this summer, right? Like cheer camp, dance camp, football camp, soccer camp. All the local high schools, at least around here, offer amazing summer camps. And I've got McLaren signed up for some. And as I was going through the process of signing her up for camp and trying to figure out which ones we wanted to do, I was like, you know what? I should do a summer camp for moms. I should do a freelance skills camp this summer for moms. And so the idea kind of came to me a couple weeks ago and we've just been running with it. So coming up this summer, each month, I'm going to try to offer at least two skills camps. And the first one we are going to hit the ground running with is social media manager skills camp. So that is happening the week of June 5th. How camp will work. It'll be Monday through Thursday. The entire week, there will be an hour session kind of slotted. The goal isn't to fill the whole slot with an hour of training, but I'm shooting for like 30 minutes of training and then 30 minutes of Q&A after the training. So you can show up live. If you're not able to make it live, they'll be recorded and added to our learning management platform, Thinkific. So you can, you know, access them as many times as you want. Come back to them if you can't make it live, watch it later that day. Anyways, all of the details are ready for you and you can sign up at michaelaquinn.com/camp-smm. You can also just go to the show notes and click the link there. Social media managers skills camp starts June 5th. What I'm hoping to cover in social media skills camp, the first session, social media management, day one is going to be social media management 101 and strategy. Day two, so like think of how to walk in with a client and create a social media strategy for them to kick off. Day two is going to be all about Instagram carousel post. Day three is going to be all about creating Instagram reels for your clients. And then day four will be Instagram stories, standalone images, and video, kind of the other different formats on Instagram. And then I will also have an option to kind of upgrade your freelance skills camp to join the Facebook group for networking and additional questions during skills camp. And then in the upgrade, there will be some additional resources, templates, and whatnot for you to take and apply to your clients. Now, here's what you need to know. Freelance Skills Camp is included for all members of the Live Free Academy. So if you are not inside the Live Free Academy, you've been thinking about joining and you want to do Skills Camp, go ahead and just enroll in the Live Free Academy. You will get access to all of the Skills Camp happening this summer for free. But if you're not an LFA and you're either trying to DIY your business or you're kind of in the stage of wanting to see if you even want to freelance, if you would even like this, if you're kind of like, but I have no skills to offer, I don't even know what I would do, and you're kind of interested in freelancing, sign up for Social Media Skills Camp. You're going to learn a lot. You'll be able to see that one, you can do this, that you have an amazing skill set already that we can accentuate with the Skills Camp and that you can take and get started working with clients. Skills Camp, though, is not about building your business and how to find clients. It is specifically just the skills training of how to do the work for clients. All about how to come in, with your clients and either get started as a social media manager or social media strategist. Okay. So that's all you need to know about Skills Camp for now. Otherwise, all the details are at michaelaquinn.com/camp-smm. And again, click the show notes. Now, in today's episode, I am so excited for you to meet Emily. Emily is a newer freelancer. She started her business this past fall and winter while she was on maternity leave with baby number three. I think she said she started when baby number three was 1 week old, and she was determined to not go back to work after maternity leave. Spoiler alert, she made it happen. In this episode, she's going to share why she got started, how she got started, what actions she specifically took inside the Live Free Academy to have such rapid success. So buckle in, pull out your notebook, listen to Emily spill the beans on how she was able to build her business to replace her full-time income while she was on maternity leave. Emily, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, of course. I am so excited to have you on today and just so pumped to really hear your story and your journey kind of laid out today, because you've had such like rapid fire success, and it's almost like a case study of what to do when you are motivated and want to or need to quit your job as soon as humanly possible, like yeah. Your story. So guys, get your notes out. You will learn so much from Emily today, whether you want to enroll in LFA, you're already in LFA, or you're just, you know, trying to do the DIY route. There's going to be so much to learn from what worked for her. And before we get into all of that though, Emily, can you take a moment to just introduce yourself maybe to those who aren't in the LFA community? Because if they are, they know you because you're active in our community. But yeah, just a quick intro, who you are, what you do.
Yeah, my name is Emily and my background is in physical therapy. So I was a physical therapist assistant for the last 7 years. In the last, I don't know, maybe 3 years or so, I started to specialize in women's health, mostly pregnant and postpartum rehab. And so that was what I really became passionate about, especially because that was about the time that I started having my own kids. And so that's what, you know, made me want to look into that continuing education and that specialty. So yeah, I'm a physical therapist. I loved my job. It wasn't that I didn't like my job. I absolutely loved what I did, but I hated leaving my kids. I absolutely hated leaving my kids, sending them to daycare, you know, and with a client schedule, I was not able to just like pick up and leave, because then they'd have to call all these patients and cancel if I had to go somewhere. So I just really felt like I didn't have a lot of flexibility. And I have three kids now. So I just had my third baby, which he's 6 months old. And when I started this, he was 2 weeks old.
Yeah.
So I found your course when he was a week old, and it took me about a week to decide. And when I decided, I jumped right in there. Like I knew I needed to make it work.
Yeah.
There was no like question about it.
So how old are your other kids? You got a 6 month old?
Yeah. My oldest is a boy and he just turned 5 last week. And then my middle one is a girl and she's 3. So I have a 5, 3 and a 6 month old.
Oh my gosh. Such fun ages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ages. So you just said that you learned about the course and then it took you about a week to decide. That's like a quick timeline of learning about freelancing and then deciding, okay, I'm buying this lady's course. I'm going all in. Had you heard of freelancing before, or was this kind of completely?
Yeah, it was completely brand new to me. I'd never heard of it. And honestly, like for the past 5 years, basically since I had my oldest, I had been looking for work from home options off and on, you know.
Yeah.
I would have a rough week at work or something would happen and I'm like, oh, I just wish I could stay home with them. And so I'd frantically research stuff and then it'd be like, well, nothing's there. So I'll just keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But eventually, you know, and I didn't know this when I was pregnant with my third, but literally when I had him in the hospital, I'm like, I don't know, maybe 2 hours after giving birth, I'm holding him. And just in my head, all that's going through my head is I am not going back to work after this. I am not doing that. Like, I just remember the struggles with trying to pump at work and making enough milk and the rush of every morning, like trying to get all the kids ready and packing all their stuff and getting them where they need to be. And then frantically going through work, trying to get my stuff done and then rushing to go pick them up and then rushing to make dinner and rushing to do their bath. And I just feel like I never have time to enjoy them. And so all that was running through my head. You know, I've got my hormones and like, I just gave birth. And I just remember, I just made my mind up there. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to find a way to not go back to work. Ugh. And so that's the first thing I did when I got home, like 2-3 days postpartum, I just started looking for options. Mm-hmm. Financially, we can't afford to not have me working. So I knew that I needed to do something. And I honestly, I like to work. I do. Yeah. I just don't like being away from my kids.
Yeah.
And so I'd never heard of freelancing. I'd never heard of you. Out of all the years that I've been looking, like, you had never popped up.
What do I need to do? Like, I
don't know.
What? Like, I'm trying my best. I'm running Facebook ad. Like,
right. I'm upset that I didn't find you before. Like, your marketing didn't reach me, and I wish it had.
What in the world? I'm trying so hard. If you're listening and you like know what I need to do to reach more people, that's if you guys can relate, like if you share this on Instagram, share it with another mom. There are so many women out there, even if you're not really interested, or I mean, you might be because you're listening to the podcast, but there's so many moms out there that still don't know that this is an option and that it can work for them. And like, that is my ultimate mission. I just want everyone to know that
this
is possible and they can do it. So.
Yeah. And really how I found out, I was in a mom group, like a mom Facebook group or whatever. And I started searching like for other people who had posted about work from home options. And I was reading the threads, and somebody had just put a very simple comment, go check out Michaela Quinn's IG. And that was like all it said. And I was like, well, okay, this seems weird, but like, I've never heard that. So I was like, might as well just go check it out. And as soon as I looked at your stuff, I just was like, what? Like, is this real? Like, and I just like got drawn into like your world. And so then, you know, that's how I was introduced to it. So I started listening to the podcast. I like looked over everything I possibly could. I just did totally dove deep, you know?
Yeah.
As I have a 2-week old, you know, he was sleeping a lot throughout the day. And so I had a lot of time, you know, my husband and my in-laws were all there like helping with the other kids. So I felt like I had some time to kind of like research on the downtime, and I just totally like went through everything. And I think I went into your email list, and you were having a sale at the time, and I was able to get that $500 off or whatever if I did it within a week, or there was something like that. There was a time frame. And so I, in my head, I'm like, okay, I have a week to decide because I'm not going to pay full price, but I'll do this $500 off. So I didn't tell anybody about it. Didn't tell my husband about it. I researched on my own. I did tell him eventually, but not at first. And then probably with, you know, like a day and a half or 2 days left of the sale, I approached him about it, and I had all my research, you know, I'm like ready to convince him and thinking I'm going to have to put up a fight because, you know, I thought he's going to think I'm crazy, but he was so amazing. He was like, yeah, I know you've been wanting to stay home. Like, he goes, I don't understand this at all, but if you think that you can do it, like, go ahead. And so I'm like, there's going to be a little bit of an upfront cost. You know, I have a course, and then I need to buy a laptop. Like, I don't even have a laptop.
Oh yeah.
So like, as I'm kind of explaining all this stuff, he's like not paying attention to me. I feel like he's on his phone. And next thing I know, he like shows me his phone. He goes, well, you're doing it because I just bought you a laptop. So,
oh my gosh.
You better go buy the course.
What
he's very supportive
sweet guy.
Yeah. And so that's how it started. So I, you know, and I did everything that you said. I am a very type A, like, if you have a plan for me, I will do that plan to a T. Like, I'm going to follow everything that you say because I want to be successful at this.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. I set my timeline. I planned for about a month or maybe 6 weeks, like 4 to 6 weeks to finish the course. And I finished it early. I think I finished it in 3 weeks.
With a newborn baby.
With a newborn. Yeah. And this is my third. So I had, you know, two toddlers at the time. He was 4 and she was 2. So yeah, my two oldest are fairly close in age. This one is the one with the age gap, but yeah.
Oh my gosh. So you finished in 3 weeks with two big kids and a newborn.
Mm-hmm.
How long then? Well, first of all, let's get to the good part. Did you or did you not go back to work after maternity leave?
I did not.
You did not go back to work after.
I've never, since I had my third, I have not been back to work.
And you're now just, I mean, literally like 6 months into freelancing.
Yeah. I started with my first clients January 1st. I landed them prior to that, but we decided January 1st because I wanted it to be clean for taxes and everything. Yeah. So I was like, let's just start January 1st. And so when I knew I had a certain amount of hours, I felt very confident in letting my boss know I was not going to be returning. And yeah, I haven't been back since.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. There are so many people listening that are like, I want to do this too. Like, what did you do? What can I take from what you did and do for myself? So can you kind of share with us your approach and your timeline? And I mean, what you did initially to land your clients and not only build your business, but build your business and reach your goals on maternity leave. Hey there, real quick interruption from me, Michaela Quinn. Anyways, I wanted to make sure that you knew that we just added a 12-month payment plan to our program, the Live Free Academy. You can enroll and get started today for just $147. If you go to go.michaelaquinn.com or just head to the show notes on this episode, we've got it linked there as well. You can read all the details and click one of the buttons to go enroll. And on there, you'll see the 12-month payment plan option. When you choose the 12-month payment plan option, you get the entire course the second you enroll. We don't hold anything back because you're on a payment plan. You'll get access to the How to Build Your Business from Start to Finish course, skills training, the job leads board, the coaching calls, the student community Facebook group, and everything else that is a part of the Live Free Academy program so that you can get started freelancing and land your first client in 30 days, 60 days, however long it takes you to go through the course and then start implementing. Again, you can see all the details at go.michaelaquinn.com/academy or head to the show notes and click the link there. All right, back to the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my goal financially when I started this, you know, how you go through the course and it's like, it lists out all the things that you need to do and the mindset part too, like what you need to think about and how to set yourself up. And so for me, my goals were financially, I had to at least make what I was making prior. And I knew I could kind of count in less daycare. My middle child goes to like a half day preschool. So I was counting that amount of money, but my baby and, you know, whatever else financially for the kids, I was going to count out. And so that was to my favor. So that was my financial goal. And so I knew I had to do some work. And I think I emailed you or, you know, whoever on your team responded to me. But I said, do you really think that I can make this much amount of money? Because I coming from a PTA background, it's not like I make a ton of money or anything, but it was a good amount.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how am I going to replace that in, you know, 3 months that I have to do that? And I was like, do you really think that I can do that? Like, is this realistic for me to replace a medical, you know, income?
That was actually me that replied.
That was you? Okay.
Yeah, I remember.
And you asked me how many hours I currently worked. And I think I was working like 30 hours at the time a week. So like at the lower end of full time. And you said, you're probably going to have to work the same amount of hours. But if you start your rates at like 30, 35, you said you're not a beginner. Like you have some experience in doing this kind of stuff. So you need to do that. But if you can work about the same amount of hours, I think that you can do it. And I wasn't worried about the hours. I knew I could fit those in because I had a little bit of help already with preschool. My oldest is in a full-time preschool. My youngest was half day. And then I knew, you know, this is my third time go around with the baby. I wasn't worried about taking care of him. I know what I'm doing, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just knew that I had quite a bit of hours to work with and I could make it work. And so I went into it thinking about that. And I knew in order to land clients quickly that at least for me, I felt like I needed to work in my lane of expertise, and that was in the therapy background.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from my clinic, where my boss was doing a ton of social media, a ton of marketing, he did his own podcast, like he's doing all these things, and I could see how busy he was. And there was a lot of times that he recruited me to help him with his stuff. And so I just kept thinking, like, I'm sure there's other clinic owners out there that are doing the same thing he is, and that could use help, but they don't have help. And so I started marketing to them. So I was thinking, you know, kind of trying to get in the zone of my boss's mindset and what he would be looking to hire for if he could financially.
Yeah.
And so I started joining Facebook groups that had PTA or like therapy, women's health, pelvic floor, like entrepreneurs. I was looking cash-based clinics. I mean, that was like the mindset that I was in. I was just going to market to those types of people because I knew that they would need help.
Yeah.
And I started sending a million cold pitch emails. I would go online and I would look up, you know, all the pelvic floor specialty clinics because that was my zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I really looked, when I was researching, I really looked for people that seemed to be a little bit behind or seemed like they might be overwhelmed. And I could tell because they hadn't posted a blog in the last year. their social media was really behind or was very infrequent or just random, no real strategy to it. You know, just kind of dead giveaways like that. When you go on somebody's website, you can kind of tell if they're active or not. You can tell if they're updated. You know, if you look at their bio, if it's kind of outdated and not refreshed, like things like that. And so when I would send them an email, I would craft it to be like, tell them about me and my specialty and kind of make it personal. And then talk about, like, I can tell, you know, all the things they're working on and how much I admire people who are helping women in that field and all those things. And I got a lot of responses back and I was able to, so from all that, I was able to land one client from the job board, which was my only client to date who is not in a PT or therapy background. So that one was my kind of one-off. I have four clients from Facebook group, you know, either from me posting, making a post and them just sending me direct messages or specific comments back to that. So like an engagement from a Facebook post in one of those therapy groups. And then I have one from a cold pitch that I did. And then my other one is actually my old boss ended up hiring me. So I have seven clients total. Four of them started January 1st. And then the other ones started shortly after that. But I had all of them I knew I was going to have prior to January 1st. So I had like made plans for start dates. I'd sent my proposal and contract had been signed and all that stuff. So I landed all of them early, but they all kind of started at different times coming into the new year.
Yeah. So four started though January 1st.
Yeah. So all of a sudden I went from like never doing this before to now I'm onboarding four people like in that first week of January and I'm learning Dubsado and I'm like doing all these things with my new board. That was a crazy time.
Yeah. Good crazy, but yeah, hopefully. Wait, so when did you start again? Do you remember like what month?
Yeah. So I started the course, it was second week of November.
Okay. So early November.
And I knew that I like had replaced, I had done the hours that I wanted and replaced my income. It was on my last discovery call, which was December 23rd. I remember because it was right before Christmas Eve. And I remember her, you know, I told her, I was like, oh, I'm going to get you your proposal and your contract. She's like, tomorrow's Christmas Eve. Like you can, it doesn't have to be a rush or anything. And I'm like, no, because she was my biggest client. Like I wanted to secure her and I wanted to go into the holidays knowing that like I was good to go and I'd fully replaced my income. So she was, I had at the time I had 60 hours that I knew for sure and I needed 40 more to like be secure in saying I wasn't going to go back to work and replace my income. And on my portfolio, my packages were 10, 20 and 30. So I was like, you know, I might need a couple more. But after speaking with her, she goes, I actually think that I'll probably need about 40 hours. And I know that's not one of your packages, but that's really what I need. Do you feel like you have the availability to do that? And I was like, that's exactly my availability is I have 40 hours actually. So, you know, after I landed her on December 23rd, that was, you know, during the break, that's when I called my boss and said, I'm not coming back.
When were you supposed to go back?
Let's see. I had him in October, November, December, January. So it was supposed to be in February, like mid-February. In Washington, we get 16 weeks of partial pay. And so I knew I had about 16 weeks.
Wow. And you had fully replaced when you made that decision.
Yep. I knew that once I started in January and I'd gotten everybody on that I would have fully replaced my income.
Wow. That's incredible. So like, I mean, we're talking 2 months from starting to being replacing your income.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I didn't start reaching out to people until I had gone through almost the whole course. I wanted to, you know, be really prepared. I wanted to have my Dubsado set up. I wanted to have my portfolio and all those things. So in the 3 weeks that it took me to go through your course, I didn't really start reaching out until probably the end of that third week. And then I started kind of slowly doing some cold pitches, knowing that that might take a little time for them to get back to me. And then I started to kind of find the Facebook groups and things like that and really make my plan for how I was going to like attack.
You know, I love this. So, I mean, this sounds way fast and way crazy, but when we think about it, and I think if we just break down and really reiterate what she did so well that you can take and make your own is she worked in her lane of genius. She had that PT background and knew that there had to have been other PTs who are running their own practice that needed support similar to her boss. And so she honed in on that specific. So many people run away from specializing in the beginning because they're afraid to narrow down and they don't want to hold themselves back from other clients. But when you get so specific and you know exactly who it is that you want to help and who you can best help today, you know where to go. to connect with them. And that's such a big battle. But once you can find that.
Yeah. It's like you said, you know, in your course, like finding your ideal client. And I guess I didn't really know what that meant exactly when I was going through it. But the more that I really sat and like thought about like, who can I feel like I really help right now? Mm-hmm. Like who's going to look at me and think I want her? And I knew like with my specific training, especially in women's health, I think that really set me aside from like other physical therapists, is it was less general, very specific, you know, and you always say that you could need to get really specific. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make sense until you start to do it. And then you're like, all of a sudden, like I was getting bombarded. And to this day, I'm like turning people away because I just have no more hours in my day.
Yeah.
So I'm still getting like people reaching out to me asking if I'm taking any more VAs from Facebook groups and from referrals now. Like my current clients are telling their PT friends and letting them know what I do. And there's such a need, like, you know, and it's not just brick and mortar. I have a variety of people. I have people who actually see people in the clinic. So I have the brick and mortar people. I have people who do online businesses where they're doing like more like personal training online, or they're doing courses, or they're doing both. That they see people for a different business, but they have their own business as well. And they're doing more like a wellness type stuff. So it's just, there's so many people that are just, and most of them are moms, all but one of them is a mom. And so they're all kind of doing what I'm doing, you know, they're trying to find their own way to be home and to be more present with their family. And so they need help too. They need support.
Yeah. That's incredible. So number one, find your lane. And no matter what your background is or isn't, like, you have somewhere, something that would be a perfect start for you. Go through my skills assessment. It's michaelaquinn.com/skills. Start there. Really hone in on, okay, what are my strengths? You don't always have to focus on like your hard skills, tangible tasks. Like, oh, I know how to, like, what are the like hard skills you had to do on a day-to-day basis as a PT? Like, I don't even know.
Yeah. Like a lot of it was hands-on. So that's when I emailed you at first. I was like, how am I going to translate my hands-on like manual skills? Like I'm working on, I stretch people, I give them exercises, I'm hands-on with them, I'm speaking to them directly. But then when I stopped and thought about it, I was like, okay, take all that away. Mm-hmm. What else am I doing? Like, what am I using in my like clinical skill set? One of them is I'm a major problem solver. Mm-hmm. Like if somebody, and I can do it on the spot. So if somebody comes to me and they're like, yeah, all these exercises that I did last time, I ended up, you know, they didn't work or whatever. So what now? So at that time, you have to make a new plan and you have to jump in, you have to fix the problem. And so I'm a good problem solver. Others, you know, soft skills are like, or other skills too, like documentation. So I was doing a ton of documentation, and I have learned over the past 7 years working with different people, a ton of different programs that I've had to use for medical records and for finding chart notes and all those things. So I know how to navigate different software, even if I'd never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
I do like update people's programs, like home programs and stuff. And that's all different software too. And I know how to use those. And all of the people I'm working for now have different types of those.
Yeah.
And so those kinds of things, you know, I know how to do and I'm good at it. And it's like, I never thought of it that way until I, you know, I got your course and I'm like, I do have a lot of things that I can offer and I am good at this stuff and I'm efficient at it. And I'm, you know, I'm a quick learner and all those things that you have to be when you work in the healthcare field. And I'm sure other fields as well too.
Yeah. And you really do have to take off your humble hat and stop being like, oh, I don't have anything. Like I'm not good. Look at what you've done. What do people come to you for? It doesn't have to be paid. If you're a stay-at-home mom, currently you've stayed at home for 1 month, 5 years, 20 years, whatever it is, like you have strengths that people come to you for and you can leverage those exact strengths and or passions too.
I think that's important. What you just said is like, take off your humble hat, because that has been one of my biggest like mindset blocks is I've lived my entire life and I grew up being taught, you know, be humble. Don't talk too much about what you've done. That's good. You know, just sit there. And especially as women too, I think that women are told a lot of times to be quiet and just don't be too loud and all this stuff. And it's like, no, like this is my time to shine. And I'm a mom of three, but I can do really cool things too.
Yeah.
And so that's something that I've like really started to implement is I've taken my humble hat off. And when I go to cold pitch myself, or when I go to talk to somebody about that's a potential lead or whatever, and not in a gaudy way or whatever, but I'm going to tell them what I can do for them and I'm not going to downplay it.
Yeah.
And so that's what I've started to do now that, you know, I feel pretty secure in my seven, like, VA clients, but I am starting to look at how I can grow my business and how I can really best leverage what I am doing And so I'm starting to look into the OBM world. And, mm-hmm. you know, if I can grow business with a 2 week old and two older kids, and I can start 7 clients and I'm working 130 hours for the month, like if I can do all that, I must be extremely organized, extremely efficient, and type A, obviously. And what better than to start transitioning to OBM or VPM? I'm kind of looking into both.
Yeah.
And so when I'm applying to like those OBM or those VPM roles that I'm starting to look at, I'm letting them know, like, this is what I've done so far in a short amount of time. And I no longer doubt myself. So whatever you've got, I know I can do. And that's kind of, I just go in very confidently because I think that's, those roles need that too. They need to see that you can handle tough things.
And I mean, you have the experience and what you've been able to do to back up that confidence.
Yeah. Yeah, I have something to show them. Like, and so, you know, my old self would have been like, oh, I don't really want to tell them, like, I don't want to act like I'm, you know, too good or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, like they want to know what I can do and I need to not be afraid to tell them.
Yeah, exactly. So are you comfortable sharing like what your income goal was that you had to replace and what?
Yeah. So I think I'm trying to think back the exact numbers, but at the time when I went on maternity leave, I was only working part-time hours. I had reduced to, I think I was working about 25 hours for the week. Mm-hmm. And I knew that daycare expenses were going to be about $900 a month. And so I was kind of counting all that. So my income that I was bringing in after expenses was about 3,000 or a little bit less, but between like 2,500 to 3,000, somewhere in there. So that my goal was to get 3,000 after taxes with my business. And so I met that goal in the beginning when I gotten those 100 hours. But like I said, now I'm at 130, which is a little bit too much. Honestly, I'd like to be, I think a happy medium for me is 110 to 115 hours. I feel like I can do that amount of hours really well and not be stressed. So I'm a little bit stressed with how many hours I'm working right now, but I've surpassed my income at this point. I'm making more than I was as a PTA and I'm working about the same amount of hours, maybe a little bit more, but it's on my schedule. Like, I work when it's convenient for me and I'm not stuck at a certain amount of time where I can't go help my kids or I can't go pick them up if they're sick or whatever. And that's the beauty of it. I never was looking to do this to stop working or to not have to work as much or anything like that. I just wanted to be able to work on my time and my hours and still have my kids around me and be able to stop when I wanted to stop to go do like whatever's going on at their school or like, you know, my son just had his 5th birthday. And so I brought his class cookies and things like that, that I wouldn't have been able to do before. Or if I had done it, I would have had to like call my office manager and be like, hey, can you block out a small time in my schedule? And like, just inconvenient, you know?
Yeah.
And so now it's like, I can take care of all these things that I wanted to take care of and, you know, that I really wanted to do and still work and still have my own thing and still get fulfilled in that way.
Yeah. So what does your schedule look like? And like, how are you managing 3 kids at home, working 30-ish hours a week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm at about 30 hours a week. My husband works 4/10, so he has Mondays off. So he kind of helps out with the kids on Mondays. He takes them to their preschools and he kind of hangs with the baby a little bit more on that day. But on my other 4 days, so like Tuesday through Friday, a typical day for me is I'll wake up a little bit early. My 6-month-old is now sleeping through the night. So it used to be he would wake up at about 5 in the morning and I would feed him. I'd put him back down. He'd go back to sleep and then I would start working. But now he's sleeping through the night and sleeps till like 6 or 7 in the morning. And so I wake up a little bit before him and I'll get in like an hour or so in the morning and then I'll get ready and I get him up and then I get my older kids up and I have breakfast with them. I take my older two to their school. So my daughter, my 3-year-old, she does the half day. So she's 8 to 12. And then my son is like 8 to 2:40 preschool. It's like a TK program.
Mm-hmm.
And so I take them to that in the morning and then I come back with him and it's a little after 8 and we kind of hang out and I'll feed him again. And then he goes down for his nap at like, I don't know, between 8:30 and 9, whenever it is in the morning. And then that's my work time. And he's been taking a really solid like 1 to 2 hour nap at that time. So I get 1 to 2 hours, you know, whenever he wakes up, I kind of stop what I'm doing and, you know, feed him whatever I need to do. And at that time, you know, he's, like I said, if it's 2 hours, he sleeps from like 9 to 11. And so then I have some time to like get lunch ready for my daughter. And then I go grab her at noon. We come back, we have lunch together. And then my baby and her usually go down for her nap. nap, and then he goes down for his second nap at about the same time. So that's my second work chunk. Yeah. So I usually get like 1 to 2 hours again at that time.
So we're at like with the naps, like 2 to 4 hours a day.
Yeah. So if I get my 1 hour in the morning before they're up, and then I get 1 to 2 with that first nap, 1 to 2 at the second nap, you know, ideally I can get anywhere from 3 to 5 hours before I go get my son. And so that's kind of usually where I stop is once I wake both of them up at 2:30 to go get my son at 2:40. You know, we live in town, so everything's pretty quick. I go get my son. We come back, we all have a snack and we all hang out. Sometimes, you know, with the weather being better, we go outside after, yeah, you know, I pick them all up from school and they have their snack and we kind of hang out outside. And that's when I'll kind of, they'll be playing in the yard and then I'll kind of be laying on the grass with my, you know, on a blanket with my baby. And sometimes I'll pull out the computer and get a little bit more in if I have some easy stuff to do. There's a few clients that I have things I don't really have to think too hard about. It's just kind, yeah, of mindless tasks. And so those are the things that I'll do sometimes when the kids are not sleeping and if I feel like I need to get a little bit more time in.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I don't really work much more throughout the day until nighttime if I need to. Mm-hmm. So my kids go to bed about 7:30, uh-huh, all three of them. And so I feel like I can get 1 to 2 hours if I want to or if I need to. But I really feel like I've gotten the majority of my work done during, you know, that, I don't know, I guess 5 in the morning till, yeah, 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So like I said, 130 hours is a little bit much for me. I'd rather be doing about 5 hours a day instead of having to push to that 6 hour.
Yeah.
But I'm working on that.
I mean, so did you kind of take on more because you got excited or was it like me? Like what happened there?
I have a hard time saying no to people. I think it's what it is. When someone's like going to give me money and like, can you do this for me? And I'm like, yeah, I can. I'm like, oh, I think I can make it work. I'm going to do it. So I need to work on that. I need to work on my boundaries a little bit more. But the other part is I'd had 6 clients that were like my original 6. And then what happened was, is my old boss, I finally told him what I was doing. I'd kind of held back on that because I was worried about him being upset. And like, I knew they were looking forward to me coming back because they needed the extra help and everything. So I was worried about him being upset and I was worried about him just being like, well, you know, don't plan on ever coming back. Because at the time I just said, when I told them, I said, I'm not coming back after my maternity leave and I don't know when I will be ready to come back. That's kind of what I said.
Uh-huh.
And so I didn't really tell him the whole story at first because I was really nervous about what the backlash might be.
Uh-huh.
But he was amazing. He, at first when I told him, you know, I kind of said what I was doing, he goes, oh, that's really cool. He's like, good for you. You know, I know that you've wanted to be home. And so it's like, everybody kind of knew that that's what I wanted. And so he was very supportive and we kind of hung up. And then the next day he called me back and he goes, hey, so I have a business proposal for you. And I was like, oh. And he's like, so now that I know what you're doing and everything, would you mind like helping me out with some of this stuff? So I said, well, how are we going to do this? Do you want me like as your employee still, or do you want to do it like how I'm doing it with my business, like as freelance? And he said, no, I'm thinking like how you're doing it. That would work better for me, honestly. And so I sent him my portfolio and showed him my services. And he said, well, okay, now that I've seen this, like, let me get a really good plan because I didn't realize you were doing all of this stuff. So he's like, let me figure out how I can, you know, best utilize you. And so, mm-hmm, he called me, I don't know, maybe a week or two later. And he was like, can you do 20 hours? And because he was my last sign on, he was at my top rate. And so I was like, yeah, we'll make it work.
Yeah. So when you said top rate, what do you mean there? For those who maybe aren't familiar with kind of how it can go when you land one client and then another and then another.
Yes. So my very first client that I landed was that through the job boards, and that was at my lowest rate. So that was like my starting rate, which I started, mm-hmm, at $30 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
After that, as soon as I landed her, I bumped up to 35. And then that was when I got all that influx of people from the Facebook group, mm-hmm, posts that I made. And so, mm-hmm, I landed, I think like 3 or 4 people at that $35 rate. Because they'd all seen that same portfolio. So I didn't feel right about changing it, you know, after they'd, yeah, already seen it. So I had, I think it was like 4 people at the 35 hour rate. But then after that influx of people, I bumped it up to 40. And so, you know, I landed 2 more people at that $40 an hour rate.
Yeah.
And so one of them was being my boss because he was kind of the last one to join.
Yeah.
And so after the first month with him, we started off at 20. And then he was like, hey, if you're up for it, I could do 30 or even 40 hours. Like, I'd like you to do more for me. And so I had to stop him. Like, I was like, let's try 30 and see how that goes. Cause that's what pushed me to 130 hours.
Yeah.
And so I said, let's try 30, see how it goes. If it's okay, maybe we'll try 40. Or I was thinking about possibly raising my rates with others and to make a little bit more room in the schedule for some of my higher rate people. So I'm kind of playing around with it. Like I said, I'm starting to market to like OBM and BPM type roles more, and thinking about raising my rates here soon that I'm coming on, you know, being doing this for 6 months. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
That's exciting. That's so exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, like my whole life, I feel like has changed and my mindset kind of is lagging a little bit. I'm still almost in the mindset of that rush, rush, rush. And like, I don't know, like feeling like I always have to be doing something. And so I do need to, like, as I go along with this, start to mold my business to really how I want to do it. Now that I've, you know, I've gotten my foot in the door, I've done what I wanted to do. Now I want to mold it to like really how I want my lifestyle to be. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what I'm starting to think about and plan for the future and things like that. So, but my whole life has changed. I feel like this is what I always wanted. I always wanted to be able to stay home with my kids, which actually I didn't really know that until after I had my first. Once I had my first, then I'm like, I don't want to go back to work. You know, I want to be here with him. So everything, you know, about what I used to do to what I'm doing now is just like, I almost feel like I'm in a dream and like, when is this going to end? Like, I hope I don't have to go back to work. You know, I'm still kind of like, it's all still kind of sinking in.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, will your kids still go to school in the summer or do you have to come up with like a new plan?
Yeah. So they're not going to be going to school in the summer. So I'm going to have all three of them and I have kind of made a plan. So I have a lot of family in this area. My mom was actually my daycare when my kids were younger. So she's still willing to, you know, watch them when needed. And then I have a grandma that was going to watch them for one of the days. And then my niece who just turned 14 lives down the street from us. So she's going to come to my house and just kind of hang out with them in the mornings for a couple days. So we've got some family just coming in at random times to help me out. But my main goal with all of this was to not have to pump because I hate pumping. Yeah. I just hate it. And so I wanted to be able to feed him, you know, and have him here with me. And so now I'm at the point where he won't take a bottle, which is a little unfortunate, but that's okay because, you know, I want him here with me. And so if somebody can kind of hang out with him and then I can feed him during those work times and then put him down, like that, I'm happy with that.
Yeah. That was my Carolina Thomas because I came from it as like with McLaren where I had to do the pumping and even our son George, they were like, my reaction baby's like, I'm not going to give him a bottle. I'm not going to pump. I'm just gonna nurse on demand. And then it got hard to wear people when I did want to leave,
take a bottle. Well, for me, my older two kids, and this was something that really pushed me to like have some bitterness towards my work was my older two kids both had a huge bottle preference. It was faster for them. You know, my letdown was a little bit slower. And so at 10 months for both my older two kids, they absolutely refused to eat for me anymore. And they would only take a bottle. And that was really hard for me. They literally acted like I was torturing them when I would try to feed them. And so they would like actively push me away, scream when I would sit down to try to nurse them. And so that in my mind, I just was like, if I didn't have to go to work, they wouldn't have done that. Like, it's because I have to give them all these bottles all the time. Yeah. And so you know, I know that's for some people that it maybe is not a big deal, but for me, that just really like, I just was like, what am I doing?
Not what I want
to be a mom here. Yeah. Like, this isn't what I want. And so I think that was my reaction with my third was I got to make it work where I don't have to pump and he doesn't have this huge bottle preference and I can just feed him the way I want to feed him. And I don't have to go through all these negative emotions. Like at the end, it can be our choice and not just like, because he's been in daycare and had all these bottles that now I have to stop feeding him the way that I want to, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So like when you ask like my why and people post on the Facebook group that was the main thing that I put on there aside from financial stuff. Like my why was so that I don't have to go to work and I don't have to pump and I can just sit at home and feed him the way that I want to feed him. Like, and I thought, you know, some people might think that's silly, but for me, that was a big deal.
Yeah. No, I mean, I feel like it's just simple things that we want as moms.
It's just the little things. Yeah.
And most of us do need to be working. Our families, it's really hard to do one income.
Yeah.
But just trying to be two parents working out of the house or on these very strict, must be here from this time to this time schedules, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work for moms. And it's so cool that there's other options out there.
Yeah. And you know, along with that too, is it just makes you always feel bad about something when you're on a strict schedule, like for your work and you have to be there. Because I don't know about you, but my kids have been nonstop sick since they started school this year. And so had I been at work, I would have been out of sick leave. I would have been taking unpaid days nonstop. And so that, and you know, how it was last year, I just always felt guilty. I felt guilty if I sent my kids to my mom's house for her to take care of my sick kids. Or I felt guilty, you know, if I called in work and said, I can't come because then they have to cancel 10 patients for my day, yeah. You know, and then I'm letting them down. And so there's just constant pull of like feeling like there's not enough of me and I can't make everybody happy. Yeah. And it just wears on you after a while.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and even now, like I was just thinking about this. We have a 10, almost 11 year old dog and he's just got diagnosed with cancer. And so we've been taking him to the vet and like having to do some things for him like during the day. And I just remember, and you know, I've been here at home with him for the last 6 months. And so I like thinking back as his life is kind of starting to turn, I'm just like so grateful that I've had the last 6 months to like be here with him and like, you know, been able, like able without having to take time off work to take him to the vet and like do what we need to do for him without yeah. having that pull of like, oh, I don't want to have to take work off yeah. my dog. You know, like some people don't understand that, but he's been with us since before I had kids. So he was my first yeah. baby and my husband and I got him when we were just dating. So he's really been through every single life event that we've ever had. And so the ability that I have now, like you said, it's the little things. It's yeah. like being able to take my dog to the vet without feeling guilty about it.
Yeah, like
that's huge.
So silly. And I mean, but work shouldn't have to be your life.
Yeah.
And like,
and it was before it was.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm curious, since you've made such a crazy, crazy big change and so fast, what did like your friends and family members say when you told them? Were they like, what in the heck? You're crazy. Or were they like, oh, cool.
I didn't tell anybody for quite some time. I didn't tell anybody what I was doing because honestly, I was a little bit like, I didn't know if it was going to work out and I didn't want to yeah. tell people and then have it bust and then be embarrassed. You know, that was my main thing. So I waited until I had told my job that I wasn't coming back. And then I started to tell people. And I feel like a lot of people just don't even still don't really know what I'm doing. They're like, oh, that's really cool, but we don't really know exactly what you do. And like every time I go out, I feel like I have the same conversation. So what are you doing now? Like, yeah. what is it that you do? So I have to like explain it all over again. But everybody has been really supportive. And I think everybody just sees the difference in me, like how much less stressed I am. I still have stress in my life, obviously, yeah. but it's the kind that I've chosen. Like yeah. I want that kind of stress. It's not a stress that's just been put on me because I have no other choice, you know? Yeah. And so that's the main difference. And I think they see me just like happier and like
yeah. you look
able
so
to
happy.
Be with my kids. Yeah. And I'm just like happy to have like these options that I honestly, before I heard about your course or anything, like I said, I didn't know what freelancing was. I honestly thought that I would never have the option to stay home. I thought that I was going to be stuck at the clinic or trying to work some sort of minimal hours to kind of get by, you know, financially. Yeah. And so I just didn't even ever know I had options.
Yeah. You don't want to just get by. You want to be able to enjoy.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, you know, for me to be more available for my kids, I would have had to work only those school hours. And that would have been, you know, enough just to get by. And I, you know, my husband and I were like, well, we're going to have to not have to go on vacations and we'll have to kind of skim back on some things. And, yeah. you know, we were talking about it because we knew that I needed to be the one that was available. My husband's job doesn't allow him to just take off work to go help the yeah. kids. Like that's on me. And I want it to be me, honestly. Yeah. I don't want him to, I want to.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we were trying to figure all that out. And it's just like, now it's, like I said, I'm still trying to get in the mindset of like, this is my reality. Like I have more options now. I don't have to be stuck doing anything.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, Emily, thank you so much for coming on today and giving up one of your precious work hours to share your story and just inspire other moms out there. I know there's going to be people listening that are like, okay, if she can do it, I can do it. They're going to learn so much from what you did.
Yeah.
We'll have to have you back on in like another 6 months to get an update on how your transition to OBM is and just hear what it's like going from, okay, I did this. I built real fast, but now kind of to see what that really like choosy kind of
yeah.
now it's like building your business phase two of, okay, mm-hmm. I did this. I can do this, but now what do I really want it to look like? If I could
yeah.
create anything in any perfect scenario, what would I want it to be? Now you get to go back and kind of do that a second time. And that's exciting too.
Yeah. In my mind, like ideally what would be is like, like I said, 100 to maybe 115 max hours. And instead of having 7 clients with like 7 different things, I'd like to really go down to like 3 or 4 larger, where I'm just like focusing on them and their business and their projects and those kind of things. So that would be ideal. And then that would free up a little bit more time too, as my baby stops sleeping so much throughout the day, because I know that's going to happen.
I get older. So, oh my gosh. Well, enjoy it. And seriously, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on and being willing to share.
Yeah. And I was going to say, once I started like having success and I posted a few things on the group or whatever, I did have some people reach out and try to get help or assistance or whatever. And I love doing that, because I reached out to people as I was going along too, and got help from people. So if anybody's listening and does feel like they are in a similar situation as me, or, you know, need some clarification or whatever, I do not mind, you know, talking to people and helping them out, because I feel like it's, you know, giving it back. A lot of people helped me in the beginning. And so I feel like I can definitely help too.
I love that. It's just like a circle. And it's so cool to see, like, there's always new people in LFA, and there's like the people that you looked to for help when you got started. Now they're kind of, you know, they're graduated and kind of gone. And now you get to be that kind of mentor and face and help for a lot of other people. And the people that you're helping, they'll be there in a few months. And it's just a beautiful cycle. And we're so lucky for you and all the other amazing women in the program who give back.
Yeah, it's such a good community. Like, your group is awesome. It's filled with so many people. And honestly, like, some of the people who have reached out to me wanting more VA work and I haven't been able to, I've referred them to the group, because it's like, you know, I know even like beginners, they're going to be great for them. Like, the group is just awesome.
Yeah. Where would be the best place for, if someone did want to reach out to you or have a question? Instagram, email, what's your preference?
Either one. Yeah. But Facebook, if anybody's like a current LFA, they can always reach me on Facebook. Just Emily Geisler is my name. And then Instagram, I did make a business profile. It's Emily_virtual services. So that's new. You know, I'm just starting that up. So it's very raw. But either one, email or Facebook or Instagram, anybody can reach out and I'll probably see it.
Yeah, we'll link to some of those options on the show notes, guys. So make sure you check those out as well. Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much, Emily.
Yeah, thank you, Michaela.
Now, just because the episode is over doesn't mean the knowledge party has to stop. Come hang out with me and thousands of other mamas in my free Facebook group. Just search Facebook for the Live Free Podcast Mastermind with Michaela Quinn, or go to the show notes. We have it linked there. And make sure you answer the questions so our gatekeeper knows that you want in. And don't forget, sharing is caring. If you are loving this podcast, please take a moment to share it with your friends. But make sure you tag me at Michaela.Quinn on Instagram and at Michaela Quinn on Facebook. See you next week.